you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, May 28th, 2018, Memorial Day, a special time to remember those that have fought for our freedoms, sacrificing in a number of ways, some to the point of giving their lives so that we can enjoy the privileges in this country. So if you see a veteran today or somebody who currently serves in our armed forces or know someone that's lost a loved one, encourage and bless them. One way to do it could be inviting them to tomorrow's gathering at Yoder's Kitchen in Arthur, as Great News Radio and the Prime Life Times is hosting our dinner club, which means 10% of your total food costs will be donated back to the station, whether you have breakfast there, lunch, or dinner. Their hours are 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., so invite out a veteran, bring along that neighbor or person you know that's feeling the weight of this holiday because they've lost a loved one. Well, if you were tuned in Friday, many of you maybe on your way to work couldn't hear the whole special broadcast titled Fearless, recounting the life of Adam Brown, who was an elite Navy SEAL Team 6. And so I'll put it into today and tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends so that you can enjoy this timely special honoring those that sacrifice for our country. You'll hear from Chris Fabry, author Eric Blem, and some other special guests as we learn about Adam Brown's faith, family, and his desire to serve this country.
When Navy SEAL Adam Brown woke up on March 17, 2010, he didn't know he would die that night in the mountains of Afghanistan, but he was ready.
When Adam was shot, Adam did so trying to protect his brothers. He did so trying to position himself to get an advantage to protect his unit.
As a member of the elite SEAL Team 6, Adam Brown's heroism and humanity was grounded in his love for God, for his country, and his wife and kids.
Every day, he's inspired me to be a better father, better husband, a better person. When I'm, you know, having my own little pity party about something going on in my life, and I think, you know, look what Adam overcame.
Adam Brown had a profound impact on his friends and his family, and in particular, his parents.
The old saying that freedom is not free, really, it brings that home. We know that there are many men that have sacrificed, and it isn't free. It cost our blood and treasure.
Coming up, a story of undaunted courage and ultimate sacrifice of Navy SEAL Team 6 operator Adam Brown, a devoted father and husband, an unlikely hero, a true warrior, and a man described by all who knew him as fearless.
Be brave, stand tall. You'll get stronger whenever you fall. Each time life brings you pain, keep faith, rise up above that voice that keeps calling your name in the dark. Walk on, you're not alone.
Welcome to the Fearless Radio Special, and thank you for joining us for this special program. Today we're going to hear from a number of friends and family of Adam Brown. We'll talk with Eric Blem, the author of the New York Times bestseller, Fearless. We'll speak with Adam's wife, Kelly, and with his parents. We'll also have a conversation with a Navy SEAL who trained and served with Adam. Long before he became a member of the elite SEAL Team 6, the counterterrorism unit that took down Osama bin Laden, Adam was a fun-loving country boy from Hot Springs, Arkansas. An undersized daredevil, prone to jumping off roofs into trees and off bridges into lakes, he was a kid who broke his own bones but would never break a promise to his parents. Adam had one goal in his life, to become the best of the best, a U.S. Navy SEAL. His final act of bravery led to the ultimate sacrifice. Chris Fabry talked with Eric Blem, the author of Adam Brown's biography titled Fearless, about this man of faith and family.
Eric, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Chris, thanks for having me.
You heard about Adam Brown how, and why did you decide to write this?
You know, the story about Adam Brown really was a gift to me. A friend of the Brown family and members of his team, SEAL Team 6, approached me after he'd read one of my previous books, The Only Thing Worth Dying For. And he felt that I could be the person to write the story and just wanted to put us together, put me in contact with Kelly Brown and Larry and Janice and the family and those guys. And after we spoke for a while and they understood that I just wanted to tell the story. I never write anything that's pro-war, anti-war. There's no political agenda. I feel like the power in any story is the story itself. And that's what I did, and that's what they knew I would do, and that's how it all came to be.
I think a lot of people are fascinated with what a writer will do with, you know, some historical figure, with somebody. We've seen recent films about baseball players and others. How did you boil down his life and career in the pages of this book?
You know, Adam Brown, first of all, he overcame so much. It really is a comeback story. It's the prodigal son meets SEAL Team 6, and it was very timely historically in our place and time with the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. And to place an individual like Adam into that setting and have a person who has that ability to turn the switch to be this lethal warrior, but at the same time you get a real deep understanding of his life as a father, as a husband, as a son, and then take a step back further and realize that this is an individual who came back from probably one of the darkest places anybody could imagine on earth, crack addiction, and to rise to that very top level of SEAL Team 6, it's just not only fascinating, it's unbelievable. And when you hear a story like that and you want to speak to people to not only hear more about Adam, but just to confirm, is this for real? Is this guy real? Because he's like a Jedi.
Yes. Well, what about the difference then in talking with his family, his parents, his wife, you know, getting that view of him and then getting the view of him from those who were in combat with him? Was this two different guys?
You know, a little bit of Adam Brown soaked through into all aspects of his life. And I would say his teammates were inspired by him for that family man, for that husband. He was a guy who would put little notes into the sugar bowl and hide them around his house for his wife to find when he deployed. So he was an inspiration to them in that regard. But at the same time, every one of them said Adam Brown was fearless in every aspect of his life. He wasn't afraid to share and show his faith. He was a Christian. He was he was a man of God. At the same time, he was a patriot, and he would take a mission and run with it. And failure was not an option. And that's really how he led his life. That's what gave him the strength. It was his love of God, love of country, love of family that allowed him to rise above crack addiction and at the same areas where he pulled strength to become this elite warrior that all of his teammates, all of his brothers in the brotherhood said, Adam Brown, top 1%, he was fearless.
What did he have to overcome then in his rise to qualify for that SEAL Team 6?
SEAL Team 6 is a special missions unit. It's a counterterrorism unit, and they are the best of the best, the top 1% from the SEAL teams. And to get to that point, you not only have to be tough enough to make it through the hellacious qualification process, you also have to qualify and perform at the very top level. So they're not only looking for the guys who are tough enough, they're looking for the guys who are good enough. And on top of that, it's like a draft. It's like an NFL draft where if you have anything in your past where you have some bad marks on your personality, where you did someone wrong on the teams or did something that someone else didn't think was at the level of a SEAL warrior, it's going to come out and you will not make it to that top level SEAL Team 6. So it's a personality draft, it's a skills draft, and it's a toughness draft. And you have to get all those levels. On top of that, Adam Brown overcame crazy physical injuries, the loss of his dominant right eye, his right hand, the fingers were severed in a Humvee accident in a combat zone in Afghanistan, and he rose above those injuries. He could have quit at any time. He could have had a nice medical discharge and pension for the rest of his life, but he chose to turn around and say, hey, you know what? I lost my eye. I'm going to become a sniper, but I'm going to learn to shoot left-handed. I lost my fingers. I'm going to learn to shoot pistol left-handed. And so what he had to do is he had to react in stressful situations, in a SWAT team situation, clearing a house, clearing a building, grenades going off, enemy shooting at him. And he had to retrain his whole being to react left when his whole life he had acted right. And that's just a snapshot of what he had to overcome. That's not even going back to the idea that he overcame crack addiction to even make it into the Navy. That's something that few make it through. It's an addiction that will rule your world, and Adam had to overcome that.
We are trying to distill this amazing story, and Eric Blehm has done a beautiful job with this book, Fearless. I want to go to the point in March on the 17th, 2010, Afghanistan, when Adam's life was taken. What happened on that final mission?
He was on a mission where there is a high-level insurgent Taliban leader who had tipped his hand. He had already killed American and coalition forces, and he was planning to do so again. Intelligence confirmed this. And in essence, his team, SEAL Team 6, was asked to fly into a hornet's nest. Not only infiltrate and kick the hornet's nest, but to go inside the hornet's nest, completely surrounded by enemy in a very remote area in the Hindu Kush Mountains, and surgically take out this leader because they knew he was about to perform an ambush on an American unit in the region. And I will just say, and for the purposes of this interview, Adam Brown performed heroically. Something had to be done to accomplish this mission, and it put his own life in danger. But being the team player that he was, he did it to keep his fellow teammates out of danger, out of harm's way. And he did so. The mission was accomplished, but Adam Brown lost his life.
Eric, Fearless was released in hardcover. New York Times bestseller list 17 weeks. It got as high as number 7 in nonfiction. What kind of feedback have you received from readers?
It's been astounding. This morning, just before this interview, to kind of get my heart into the interview, I read back through some of the emails. In about a year, I've gotten almost 7,000 emails from various readers, either made out to me or to the Brown family. And all of them just are a testament to Adam's legacy, how he has inspired people to rise out of their own dark places. I mean, Adam Brown, one of the things, his final wishes in his, if he was ever killed in combat, he wrote down, I want people to know who I was before I became a SEAL, before I was this person who, you know, was a hero. And he wanted people to learn that he did have skeletons in his closet. And at one point in his life, he was a criminal. He was a dirtbag. He was living in the gutter, stealing from his own family and friends. And he wanted people to know that because he wanted to inspire others to rise up from their own dark places. And I've gotten so many emails and letters from people who have read it that are in those dark places, addiction. There's been people who have been inspired in the medical field who have read Adam's story, how his mantra was, I got it. I can do this. I got it. And there's some examples of people who have had those situations in their own professional lives and personal lives where they've read the book and they feel that he's given them the strength. So that's kind of the legacy that Adam Brown left behind, his ability to inspire even from the grave.
As a writer, you can simply tell the story and then move on to the next subject, and no one would fault you for that. I sense that you've been impacted by and inspired by his story.
So much. Adam Brown, every day, he's inspired me to be a better father, a better husband, a better person. I mean, Adam's one person who keeps telling me, you know, get back on the horse, get back on the bike, and soldier on.
Eric, thanks for telling the story of Adam Brown.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor.
You've been listening to the Fearless Radio Special and a conversation between Chris Fabry and his special guest, Eric Blehm, the author of the New York Times best-selling book titled Fearless, The Undaunted Courage and Ultimate Sacrifice of Navy SEAL Team 6 Operator Adam Brown. You can discover more about the life of Adam Brown at fearlessnavyseal.com. That's fearlessnavyseal.com. Coming up next on the Fearless Radio Special.
I realized that I knew a man named Jesus, but I didn't know who he was. And I got down on my knees in our kitchen one night and asked Jesus to come into my heart. And he did. And he changed my life.
A conversation with Adam Brown's parents. That's next.
You're listening to a special broadcast on the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. Part 2 is up next, and you'll hear the completion of this one-hour special on tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends, so I invite you to tune in at the same time. Also know that this special called Fearless can be accessed at our website, greatnewsradio.org, under our archive programs link.
A friend said Fearless was the best book that he'd ever read. But he warned me, read it alone because you're going to be bawling your eyes out. He was right. From the moment I picked the book up, I couldn't put it down. And I found myself on a flight reading the final two chapters, doing my best to hold back the emotion. Adam's story has inspired and challenged me to be a better father, husband, and friend. And my hope is, by putting the story in as many hands as possible, it'll drive us lucky civilians to support the warriors that make our lives possible. You can live
fearless. Welcome back to the Fearless Radio Special, the undaunted courage and ultimate sacrifice of Navy SEAL Team 6 operator Adam Brown. Fearless is an absorbing chronicle of heroism and humanity, a portrait of a highly trained warrior who would enter a village with weapons in hand to hunt terrorists, only to come back the next day with an armload of shoes and meals for local children. Chris Fabry talked with Adam's parents, Larry and Janice Brown, about their son's extraordinary life.
Larry, Janice, thanks for talking about this story, a painful story, but also a hopeful one.
Well, thank you for having us here. We're always glad to talk about Adam.
Even from the moment of his birth, he was fearless. How did you see glimpses of his future in Adam as a child?
Almost from the very beginning, Adam was climbing, jumping. We were constantly going back and forth to get stitches at the doctor's office until we finally just started using butterfly bandages ourselves. But all the times that he was hurt, it didn't seem to bother him that bad. He didn't cry. And he was always jumping off our back deck, which was way too high for him. And I was always getting on to him. But he'd have a friend come over, and he'd have to go show him how he could jump off that deck.
Larry, what about on the football field? How did Adam play?
Adam played with abandon, just like he did everything else. He was not a very big child, especially before he was a senior in high school. But he just played hard. He had no fear. And he would hit you and hit you hard, but he would not quit. He had no quit in him.
It sounds like he was determined then, almost coming through the birth canal and then with the rest of his life. It was just that he was a determined young man. Now, after high school, though, he started going down kind of a dangerous path. What happened to this all-American boy who helped lead his team to that state football championship? How did that turn toward a dangerous path?
Well, when Adam went off to college, you know, he had been with a really good group of kids at school, and they really enjoyed everything they did. But when he went to college, he was kind of lost, and he didn't have his friends there, and he got in with a group of friends that he shouldn't have. And Adam, once he does anything, he does it all the way. And once he tried drugs, he was just head over heels. It had him, and it had him bad.
And that brought you to your knees, in a sense. During these dark days, you decided you couldn't do it. You couldn't help fix him. There's only one way to do that. And what did that send you toward, Janice?
Well, at that time, we were trying everything we could to help Adam, and nothing we did worked. And we were one more time trying to figure out what to do, when Larry just took my hand and he said, "We cannot do this. We need God. We've got to go to church." And up until that time, I had never prayed or asked God to help. Larry was raised in a family that went to church all the time. My family, I was raised by my grandparents, and they were very good people, but we didn't go to church and we didn't pray. But when Larry said, "We need God," it was just immediate. I was like, yes, that's what we need to do. So the next day that the doors opened at the church, we were there. And I realized that I knew a man named Jesus, but I didn't know who he was. And I got down on my knees in our kitchen one night and asked Jesus to come into my heart. And he did. And he changed my life.
Many times when something like this happens, you think, well, it's all going to be better now. But you turned your lives over to God, but Adam didn't immediately turn around, did he?
No, it was a process. Adam was in jail, and it finally dawned on him, his desire and his need for God and for Jesus in his life.
What about, Janice, those who are listening, parents who have children who are going through this drug addiction? What would you say to them about what you experienced in Adam's road to recovery?
I truly think the main thing that we did was, when we did turn our life to God, just put him in God's hands. And we tried to be prayed up and ready when Adam would come to us. We always loved him. We told him we would talk to him. We wanted to help him and that we were there for him no matter what. But that we had rules, and if you're going to be continuing this lifestyle, you're not allowed in our home. We do want to hear from you. But we just had to take a stand and say, you know, Adam, God's in charge of you now, and we love you, but that's as far as we can go.
So God gets a hold of Adam's life. He comes out of this spiral, and he moves toward the military. Larry, did that surprise you at all?
Well, not really. After he come out of Teen Challenge, it surprised me that the military was willing to accept him after all the things that he had been into, but God had that worked out, too. He had a friend that was in charge of the Navy recruiting to give him all the waivers that he needed. So, you know, God was in that just like he was in everything else.
Can you tell me about the day when you heard the news?
It was early in the morning, and I had just finished my quiet time, and the doorbell rang. It was about 6 in the morning, and 4 men in dress blue uniforms standing at the door. And it's just... you know why they're there, but it sure don't make it easy. But it's a very, that's one of those memories that's lodged forever in your mind. You know?
It's almost like time stops, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. How are you doing today with that loss?
With that loss, it stays with you. You've thought about that before, but you never let yourself dwell on that. But then when it happens, it's you're kind of in a fog for a week or so.
I think the first thing after the initial shock, all we could think about is we had to get to Kelly and the kids because we knew how devastating this was going to be for them. And they had notified her the night before about midnight, and they had asked her not to call us because they wanted to have the men come to our door and be there with us. And so she had told them, be sure and get there early because Larry would leave for work. So as soon as we had our senses about us, we were on the phone with her in making arrangements to get up to Virginia Beach to be with her and the kids.
I think this story, Adam's story, illustrates the cost involved in serving our country, don't you think?
Well, you know, before I had known people and had several friends killed in Vietnam even, but the old saying that freedom is not free, really, it brings that home. We know that there are many men that have sacrificed, and the sacrifice that they've made is the ultimate, and it isn't free. It costs our blood and treasure.
Thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
What we've been featuring is a conversation with our host, Chris Fabry, and Larry and Janice Brown, the parents of Adam Brown. You're listening to the Fearless Radio Special, the undaunted courage and ultimate sacrifice of Navy SEAL Team 6 operator Adam Brown. To learn more about the life of Adam Brown, the website is fearlessnavyseal.com. That's fearlessnavyseal.com. Coming up next on the Fearless Radio Special.
I spend the day going to exercise with my girlfriend, going and having a smoothie, and then going to Target to shop and just hanging out and picking up the kids. But that's what I was doing the day my husband died, and I didn't know it.
A conversation with Adam's wife, Kelly Brown. It's next.
Well, that concludes the first two parts of Fearless. Tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, you'll hear parts 3 and 4 as you'll continue to learn about Adam Brown and his faith, his commitment to his family, and his passion for serving this country on this special edition of Mark and Friends on Memorial Day. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.